Looks like they're all covered. Great. Proverbs 15:23 states, "A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is." We have reached our point in our study through the book of Proverbs where the chapters before us are made up of what are commonly thought of when we think of this book. Basically, through these chapters, we have a series of proverbs, which, of course, are typically very short yet powerful statements of God's wisdom. In earlier chapters and other sections of Scripture, oftentimes there's whole sections or perhaps chapters covering one topic. But in this portion of the Proverbs, the format is not one of a lengthy section on one topic, but again, just these short, powerful statements where you might have a topic addressed and it moves on to another and another and another in a series like that. However, in the midst of that, as saying the Lord just gives these short, powerful statements for us, if we back up, we can begin to see that there are areas of our lives that God applies many proverbs to. So what I'm saying is you begin to see themes. Areas of our lives that although maybe the one proverb isn't connected to the next one, if you back up, you start seeing that there are trends, there are themes that run their way through the proverbs. Things that are on God's heart that he wants to make sure we understand. This morning I'm drawn to one such area. As many of you know, if you were here last week, I was under the weather last Sunday morning. I am doing much better this week. I thank you for your prayers and expressions of concern. And while I was sick, I did not go to the doctor. I believed it was something that indeed it turned out to be the case, something that just needed to kind of run its course through my system. And so I didn't go to the doctor. But if I had gone to the doctor, there's probably one thing that he or she would have done in the midst of examining me. Something that almost all of us, if not all of us, have had happen in the midst of that examination. Somewhere along the way, he or she, the doctor, would have pulled out one of those big fat ice cream sticks called a tongue depressor and would have come up to me and said what? Open your mouth and say, Now, I'm not using this occasion to stick my tongue out at you on purpose. We're trying to kind of set the stage. We're trying to drive home a point here this morning. The doctor would, in an examination, lays the tongue depressor to my tongue to try to do an internal examination of sorts. He's trying to check out my tongue itself, trying to probably see if it's dry or moist or how it looks. And then, of course, beyond the tongue, he's looking into the throat to look for infections and things like that. So he walks up to me and he puts the tongue depressor upon my tongue and says, "Say ah," and he looks around. He has a look. In a very similar way this morning, I believe the Lord wants to do the same thing. Let him. The Lord has much to say about our words and their power. And this morning it's on my heart, I believe God would have us let him examine our mouth. Now, the doctor, of course, when he puts the tongue depressor in my mouth, he's looking for physical symptoms through physical means. So he is looking at condition of my throat and all. We understand that. But what does God use when he comes to examine our mouth? Well, he takes the tongue depressor, if you will, of his word. And by the power of his Holy Spirit, he would have us open our mouth and he would say, "Say ah." And he would look around to see what he finds and what he hears coming out of us. Our words, our lips, our tongues have much power, have much potential for good or bad. Our words say much to others and they say much about us. This morning, I'm just encouraging you. Let's let our Heavenly Father examine our mouths today. So bear with me. But I believe it drives home the point. I've called our time together this morning. Say, ah. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we can gather together this morning knowing that you love us. Not out to get us. Have a great, great compassion and concern for every one of us. Knowing, Lord, that You love us just as we are. Father, you sent your Son to die for us, that you might bring us into your arms, into your heart. Thank you, Lord. But thank you, Lord, that you don't leave us there. You don't just leave us as we were, but you begin to work, Lord. Let this morning be part of that work of molding and shaping us, conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. Lord, search our hearts, search our mouths. Help us, Lord. Help us to hear what you'd say to us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Allow me to read just a couple more proverbs along this line that will support my point and kind of set the tone for what we're talking about this morning. Go back to in chapter 15 to verse 1. And I'm just kind of staring in this middle section for a while here, but go to Proverbs 15:1. Where the Lord says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. Go down to verse 4, chapter 15. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Go over to chapter 16, verse 24. Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. And perhaps a real key one in Proverbs 18, verse 21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. There are many ways we communicate with one another. We've all heard of nonverbal communication, that we give off messages in the way we stand or sit. Sometimes we can tell if someone's reacting to us by simply the nonverbal communications that are going on. There are ways of communicating, like the use of sign language and all, which of course is very appropriate, and it's good to have for those that need to communicate in that way. There's many ways we communicate, but certainly somewhere near the top, if not at the top, the main way that I connect with you, the main way that you and where you're at and your being connects with my being are through our mouth, through the things that we speak. Think how God has communicated. He made man and woman, and it says he spoke, and he continues to speak, and he has spoken, of course. Now, we have that recorded for us in the form of our Bible, but God has spoken to man. These mouths. Well, it's our main way of communicating. Now, of course, God made this opening in my face. God made these lips. He designed the tongue, the mouth. He wants us to know. He designed them, and they come with an instruction manual. This last Christmas, you probably, especially if you have little ones, had some things to assemble. Some toys or something like that. Now, many of us, we get that, we drag out all those parts and we look at all the bag of nuts and bolts and screws and we see the instruction manual and we go, I can do this. And we plow into it. And a lot of times we can. We figure it out, put it together. Of course, we're standing there afterwards looking at those leftover nuts and bolts. I'm sure they just put in some extras in case I lose them. Out they go. And we get by okay. Sometimes. But when it comes to how God would have us use these mouths, he doesn't want us to go off without the instruction manual in use. Because you might get by with building that toy that way, although most of the time what happens is we go, you know what, where is that manual? I've got to figure this thing out. Certainly it comes to the mouth. God wants us to know. He designed it, but there's a way the mouth is to be used and a way it's not to be used. Too many of us have gotten the mouth, but chucked out the instruction manual. And we don't understand what it's causing, what it's doing. There are ways our mouths are to be used and ways they are not. James, in his letter, speaks about this, and let me just share this with you. James, in chapter 3 of James, says, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouth that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, he writes. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members, it's part of our body, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. I wish he wouldn't beat around the bush. I wonder how James feels about the tongue. Puts it pretty much straight out there, doesn't he? He says, for every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now listen, James says, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth, James writes, proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. I wonder if you'd be willing this morning to be convicted about how you've been using your mouth. I want you for just a moment to picture that you have purchased or perhaps been given as a gift a very special plant. Now, I know, guys, that we aren't as apt to think about that as the ladies in terms of a flower or something. So whatever helps you get into this, guys, think of that. Maybe you're going to grow a special, like a pine tree in the backyard or something, and or whatever it is that you can relate to, guys. But for all of us, let's think about it a moment. I remember years ago we had a little plumeria start thing and planted it, and we just wanted to see that because it reminds us of why it smells so good and all. So picture that. Picture that you have a very special plant that you want to grow in the backyard. So you put it back there in the backyard, and because you want it to grow and do really well, every day before you head off to work, you get up early, you leave a few minutes to go out in the backyard, you go in the garage and you grab your hoe and all, and you go to the backyard, and there's your plant. You know, and oh boy. You know, now because you want your plant to do well, what do? Well, of course, you take your hoe and you beat that little plant, the smithereens. You womp on it and kick it and throw dirt on it. No, of course you don't do that. But yet, you know, that's how a lot of people think that people grow. People want their lives to do well, their marriages to do well, their children to do well, their relationships to do well. And yet, in terms of how they use their mouth, they criticize and judge and put down, thinking somehow that that's how people grow, that that's what will bond and cause a close relationship. Well, they need me to do that for them. They need me to point out their faults and all. Just like that plant, people don't grow when they're busy being attacked and verbally beaten up. I don't know about you, but if I'm being attacked, I'm going to be in defend mode. I can't grow in defend mode. I'm going to be busy trying to survive. And so up goes the wall. So we use our mouth in these ways, and all of a sudden there's distance in our relationship, and there's walls between us, and we can't figure out why. Because after all, we're saying these things that's supposed to help. Not understanding that they're tearing down. People don't grow in that way. Unfortunately, some of us think that that's what we're supposed to do with these mouths, that we've been given the job of playing Holy Spirit in people's lives, and our job is to tell them how it is and find that fault. If you want to find a fault in someone, it won't take you long because there's no one perfect. No one. Your mate isn't perfect, and your mate's mate isn't perfect. Now, if you want to find a fault in me, it's going to take you about 3 seconds if you're slow. And if you want to use that and slice and dice me with that, well, please know, that's not the proper use of your mouth. But instead, something entirely different is supposed to be going on in terms of how we're supposed to be helping each other to be all God wants us to be and the growing and the healing He wants to occur. The Lord does not want us to use our mouth in the same way that it is talked about that person using the hoe, beating and putting down and cutting. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers." Our mouths are designed by God that they might be a means in which we would build up people, not tear them down. No shortage of things out there trying to tear us down. He wants us to be vessels to build up people. Have you been using your mouth for unauthorized purposes? Having said all that, I want us to focus not on the bad things that we say. Rather, I want to encourage us to this morning to consider how we might use our mouths for good. To speak that which imparts grace to the hearers. Grace, God's unconditional love. How much we love to hear it when God speaks it to us. How much He wants us to pass it on to others. How interesting that we are so willing to receive it for us, but to turn around and use instead criticalness and harshness on others. Let's see how we can use our mouth for good. Look at our focus verse again here in Proverbs 15:23. "A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is." How awesome a timely word can be. They're invaluable. Proverbs 25:11 says, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and settings of silver." For just a moment, let's consider just a couple of the positive effects that our tongues, our mouth, our words can have. There are many. I can't begin to cover them all this morning, but let's just consider a few. First of all, our words can heal. Proverbs 12:18 says, "There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health." Our words can promote health in someone's life, someone who is hurting. Our lives can be like a healing ointment applied to a wound. If we would just be sensitive. See, sometimes we wonder, well, what can I really say and what can I do? I don't have a doctorate in counseling or something, and what can I do? Just a timely word, a fit word spoken in a timely way in due season can bring such healing to someone's life. It can be like that ointment applied to the wound. Of course, people need to learn to look to the Lord. Of course, we can't go around depending on people because they'll let us down. But don't let that keep you from being the one He wants to use to minister His healing. Speaking a word of encouragement, a word of healing, a word that lifts up. Another way that we can use our words in a positive way is we can calm a tense situation. We read it earlier, Proverbs 15:1. "A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." The verse doesn't say compromise. It doesn't say abandon the truth. Of course, you've got a hold of the truth. But do you know there's times and ways to speak the truth? We're to speak the truth in love. And there's timing. There's tact, is what it's saying. Speak the truth, but watch how you say it. "I just told him the truth." Well, aren't you great? "I just told him their hat was ugly." Well, it is, you know. And we think that we're being so great in doing that. We can bring peace into a tense situation, a calmness, if we let God control our mouth. And of course, there are many. Our mouths can be used to share the very gospel, testifying to God's goodness. We can use our mouth to declare the greatness of the Maker of our mouth. And there are many ways, but one I want to hone in on is how our words can encourage. Proverbs 12:25 says, "Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. And this is the one that's particularly on my heart. Again, listen to our focus verse. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. I want us to consider the healing, encouraging impact our words can have on each other. How many here can say that they've been on the receiving end of an encouraging comment? Have you ever had that happen? Think about it. Think about the difference it made. The very reason you're raising your hand probably is because, and if we had time, I could go around and ask you what the occasion was. You'd probably say, oh, I was really scraping the ground that day. I couldn't see anything good in me or life or whatever, or I'd lost that project or whatever was going on. But then somebody spoke a word of encouragement to me. And somehow it gets our bearings back sometime. It kind of helps us get back up on our feet, or it gets our perspective straight again. When that encouraging word reminds us, no, wait a minute, you know, it's going to be okay, or, you know, don't let this be more than it is, or they just speak this, a word of encouragement into that situation. Again, it depends what it was for the exact words, but the overall effect was it ministered to you. And it's so good when that happens, isn't it? When someone speaks that word of encouragement. Pass it on. It does me no good if you have good thoughts towards me. If you don't speak them, how do I know it? Do you love somebody? Let them know. Do you appreciate them? Tell them so. Did they do a good job? Express it. The little ones, let them know. How are they going to know it? Well, I didn't say anything bad. Well, that's good. That's a start. I didn't yell at him all day. Well, that's good, but that's neutral. If you don't say anything, then I got to fill in the blanks. And unfortunately, fill in the blanks in a negative way sometimes. Well, I guess. I mean, you haven't said anything good all week. I guess I'm a dirt clod as far as you're concerned. That's what we'll start thinking about one another. Go to the next step and say, you know what, I appreciate you. Now to that, if inside you're saying, well, how do I tell them that? They've got things they need to work on. How do I tell them they did a good job? It wasn't perfect. You're right, it wasn't perfect. And as I said earlier, if that's going to zero in on, go ahead, but that's an unauthorized use of your mouth. Instead, the Lord says, look for the good. Say something positive. Recognize that we're all in process. We're all under construction. And just to once in a while say thank you, or that was great, or, you did a good job, or hey, that looks sharp, or whatever fits. Don't manufacture it. Just look, it's there. If we'll quit being hypocritical and judgmental, and if we'll get the beams out of our own eye, it's there. To speak into that person's life some encouragement. I just read this last night, that the Royal British Navy has a regulation, and it reads, no officer shall speak discouragingly to another officer in the discharge of his duties. No officer shall speak discouragingly to another officer in the discharge of his duties. I don't know if they really keep that one. But it says they're at least called to try to go about what they're called to do without speaking disparagingly of one another in the process. Sounds a whole lot like what the Lord is telling us when he says, don't let corrupt communication come out, but instead speak that which builds up. Speak that which imparts grace to the hearers. As you and I go about this journey together in the Lord, we have a calling upon us. And part of that calling is, as you go about your duties and I go about mine, we're not to speak disparagingly and putting down of one another, but to look for and to speak the good towards one another. Of course, there are times we address issues and problems. But there are ways to do that that'll lead to healing and peace instead of somebody laying there shredded because of our tongue. That's the goal. To speak good words, upbuilding words, healing, encouraging words to one another. But, of course, there's a problem. Because when it comes right down to it, it's not just this muscle that we call a tongue that's really the problem, is it? The problem is my mouth, my tongue is connected to something. And therein lies the problem. There are times we might think our mouth is talking without anything guiding it. But in reality, the tongue is just forming shapes so that the air that passes over it will make an intelligible sound. The mouth and the tonsils and all, they're all working together to make sounds. No, there's something orchestrating and guiding this mouth. And therein is the problem. Jesus puts it this way in Matthew 12. Jesus says, "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things." And in Matthew 15, a little further, Jesus says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man." And therein lies our problem. These mouths are connected to our heart. No, Pastor. I said that because they made me say it. I wouldn't have said that if he hadn't cut me off on the freeway. He made me say that at him. Nope. Jesus says it ain't from the outside in, it's from the inside out. And that situation simply gave your heart an opportunity for examination. So the Lord takes our words and like a tongue depressor goes, and he looks not at my tonsils, but at my heart. And he wants us to understand that our hearts are mirrors. They are examination points. They are tongue depressors, whatever example we want to use, to look at our heart. And that's the great concern. If you and I leave here today simply committing to start trying to control our mouth and don't deal with our heart, we might make it out of the parking lot. I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to yell. I'll do it. Hi, brother. God bless you. I'm doing okay. You might make it out of the parking lot, but I bet you won't make it through the week. If all you do is say, I'm going to start controlling this, and don't deal with this. Because that's the root of the problem. The selfishness, the pride, those parts that are yet to be yielded, they express themselves far too often. God's tongue depressor, his word, these proverbs, held by the Holy Spirit. He lays them upon our tongue and he examines our heart this morning. It's got to start with the heart. You see, only God can help us use the gift of speech for good in the way he wants us to. Romans 12:1 tells us that all believers are to present their bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, if I'm told to present all of me as a sacrifice, meaning I'm to give him full control, give him the driver's seat, the steering wheel, whatever analogy you like that'll drive home the point. He says to present our bodies as living sacrifice. Do you think that includes our tongue? Nah. He wants all of me, but I get to do what I want with this. Of course not. I'm teasing. How much he wants us to understand that this is part of the whole thing. I've got to yield this heart. This mouth, well, I'm back to the same problem. It's controlled by my heart. Well, he said the whole body. A surrendered mouth begins with a surrendered heart. Not a perfect heart, but a yielded, surrendered heart. A heart that truly has given the throne over to him. The heart, of course, in the Bible is the seat of my will, where I make my choices, the core of who I am. And basically what I'm saying is you really got to want this to happen or else you will real quick go back to using your mouth the way you want to. You've got to make a commitment. We've got to repent of our rebellious mouths and say, Lord, I'm going to start letting this mouth be used the way the designer designed it. And it's going to start, Lord, by saying, here's my heart, 24/7, Lord, here's my heart. We must take seriously the call to use our mouth for good. And God can do it, but our tongues are connected to our heart, and therefore it's a partnership. God will partner with us if we will yield our hearts and then our tongues to him. the mouth and the heart. What an interesting thing. All those are connected. The mouth, the tongue, and the heart. How are we saved? What is the process? Well, the Lord gets hold of us, makes known our need and His answer, His sufficiency, that He died on the cross for our sins. But what actually happens there? Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. How interesting. You got to believe it here, but if you believe it here, it's going to come out here. Only God knows if someone is saved. But our heart should be reflected through our mouth. There should begin to be a change. The other night with the guys in the men's study, I mentioned this, but I want to use it again here. Only God knows really in the end if someone's saved. They name the Lord, then I have to take them at face value. If someone says they've accepted Christ, if they've done that truly, they're saved. But I have to confess, there are people who come along and say to me, it's like they're saying, yeah, I'm saved. They'll say, yeah, I'm an apple tree. And they've got all these lemons hanging on their branches. And you don't want to be judgmental, but you go, I know you said your heart's His, but man, when I hear you, I can't help but be concerned. You know, you're saying, I'm an apple. And there's lemons all over you. If there's still stuff coming out, and I know it's a process, and but shouldn't there be a change? And the Lord's saying there is. Surrender your heart and let your mouth express it. And stay surrendered. And you just watch what will begin to happen. Now don't work your elbow on your neighbor. He's talking to you. You got the worst mouth. Now let's let God speak to us about our mouth. And let's let them be used in a positive way. Spend time with Him. Surrender that heart. And watch what begins to happen here. He says if you believe in your heart and confess it with your mouth. Now that's not to say that you can't be saved if you don't have the ability to speak. It's a heart thing. But if you do have a mouth that functions, it should be proclaiming and be using the things of God. Have you begun at that point? Have you confessed with your mouth and believed in your heart? You got to do that if you're going to see heaven. You must be saved by receiving what Christ did on the cross. And as part of that, you need to turn and confess and cry out and let Him forgive. But there's this mouth-heart connection. But if you have done that, then it tells us God moved inside. The Holy Spirit took up residence inside of us. Now, let Him use your mouth to pass on that good news. Use your mouth to encourage others. The mouth and the heart. All of us are in process. I'm certainly not saying I've arrived. Oh, I praise God that He's done a whole lot of laundering and scrub-a-dubbing of this mouth of mine via my heart. Back in my youth and in my earlier years, I'm not proud of it, but this mouth was used to hurt a lot of people and say some things that it was never designed to say. And perhaps you'd be willing to admit the same. But God in His mercy and grace got hold of this heart, and I found an interesting thing happening. He began to change the mouth connected to it. And I guess I'm saying that even when we speak that which might be harmful, certainly we should be pulled up short, and there should be it should grieve us when we use our mouth for an unauthorized purpose. What do our words say about the condition of our heart? As you travel your day, let God take the tongue depressor of His word and examine and say, hey, I want to work on that part. I want to work on that part of your heart. Come on, you're settling for far short of my best. Each day we have the power to lift someone up, to comfort them, to help them along. Our focus verse, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. How good are words spoken in due season? A timely word. A word that fits the occasion, fits the need. Now, if this describes your mouth, great. Keep it up. Keep doing it. I've probably been the recipient of that from you, and it is much appreciated. But if there could be improvement, if you'd be willing to admit this morning that your tongue, your mouth has not been what it should be, I challenge you. In love, but I challenge you. Give it a try. Yield in your mouth by yielding your heart every day. Give it a try. Start letting your mouth be a vehicle by which God might begin to touch those around you. People don't grow being attacked. Watch how they begin to blossom and flourish when you begin to speak God's truth, His love, His comfort into their lives. Now, I'm not saying we do this to earn God's love. You've already got God's love. It's because we have His love that He's asking us to speak like this. Think what God has spoken to you. God has spoken words of love and forgiveness and healing and comfort and truth and peace into our hearts. And oh, how we love that and need it. And what a difference this makes in our lives is daily He speaks to us. Now pass it on. That's what's on my heart today, just to encourage you. Pass it on. I have been the recipient of many of you taking the time to express that maybe God encouraged you in some way through a message or what He's doing around here. I'd like to think there's been times that I have been able to be used to and let you know how important you are and a blessing you are to Kathy and I and our family. Keep it up. Let's keep it up, and ever more so be that way individually and as a fellowship. What a joy. You notice that? It says, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth. What a joy to speak a word in due season, a good word, how good it is. A joy to the hearer and a joy to the speaker. Just watch what happens as you begin to yield your heart and in turn yield your mouth and be used to speak the way it was designed. Watch what it begins to do. My prayer is when the Lord comes and says, say, ah, that He'll look inside and say, whoa, good. Good words come from a heart yielded to me. What does God see? Say, ah. Let's stand. Worship team's going to close in song together. Would you need prayer today? Do you recognize today is the day you need to begin your journey with the Lord? You need to confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that He died for you. I'm not saying go to church. I'm not saying be good enough. That'll avail you nothing to get into heaven. You got to come and make it known. Find a prayer partner up front and come and open your heart. But believer, in particular, the challenge before us this morning is we say our hearts are His. And if you've made that confession, great. That's the minute you invited Him in, He came in. But don't fight Him for the steering wheel. You gave Him your heart, let Him have the steering wheel, and let the mouth express it. And let's continue to be encouraging and positive and building up to one another and watch what He does in our midst. Let's pray. Father, we thank You and praise You for the way You lovingly apply Your word to our lives. And Lord, we seek Your forgiveness. Lord, if any of us have used these mouths in ways You didn't intend, forgive us, Lord. Lord, if we have cut down others, held others to standards that we couldn't even live by. Lord, if we've spoken the negative instead of the good. If we've spoken outright evil. If we've spoken things that were blasphemous. If we've spoken things that tear down. If we've spoken things, Lord, forgive. Heal us, Lord. If we've used our mouth in downright filthy ways, Lord, whatever might be represented throughout the room, thank You that there is forgiveness and Your grace abounds and that there's healing. Lord, help us. Help us to yield these mouths and these hearts to you continually. And thank you, Lord. Thank you that you forgive. Thank you that you just want to use us to speak your truth, your love to others. Do that, Lord. Take these mouths, take these hearts, take these lives. Use them for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.